97.5, The Fanatic.
He's my podcast partner. He's also the sports editor of WestchesterCountyPost.com. Steven, what's on, my man?
All good, Joe. Great to be with you, as always.
And you too, pal. I know you're in a rainstorm, and we're going to get hit by it, too. We'll get through this segment just fine. The 76ers last night, I know you saw the game. What problems did you see? And what were the, besides the 53-point debacle by T.J. Warren, I mean, what problems did you see with this team?
Well, I think you've kind of talked about it a lot today, but I'll say this. It's almost like, and we've talked about this before, that Jimmy Butler gave us a heads up, because for Jimmy Butler to show up in Philly, play with these two ultra-talented stars, and then walk away, I always thought it was some kind of sign that he thought, more so than you or I, that he thought that he couldn't win a championship with these guys. That's my impression.
That's a great point.
Plus they lost J.J. Redick. Plus they lost our guy T.J. McConnell. You know, it's kind of funny. So here's Shake Milton and Embiid yelling at each other on the court, right? Literally having words on the court from like 15 feet away. And who comes in to steal the ball? As it's going out of bounds, he flips it in. It's T.J. McConnell. And we all love T.J. McConnell. We don't think he's a star. But if you go 10 points, 8 assists in 17 minutes, that's pretty good. And he's that right kind of guy that you were talking about. So Jimmy Butler's gone. He's the alpha dog. J.J. Redick's gone. He's the knockdown three that they really haven't replaced. And even a guy down the bench like T.J. McConnell is gone. I think those are big, big losses. And I think what gets to the point is, who is it? Is it Brett Brown's job to motivate these guys? Are they supposed to be self-motivated? And I think it's what Keith Pompey said a while ago. It's kind of both. It's kind of all of their faults. And if you can't light a fire under these guys, that's a problem for the head coach.
Let me ask you something, Steve, because coaching is all about preparation, motivation, making adjustments, practice, personal relationships, and in-game decisions. Of those things I just mentioned, what is Brett Brown good at? You just answered my question.
I think in today's NBA, I think he's good at trying to be a player's coach. You know, he's got the Popovich Spurs background, and that's all well and good. But he just doesn't seem to be able to light a fire. I don't know if he really challenges these guys. You know, it's kind of a difference. You know, the Thibodeau guy got hired by the Knicks. He might be too much the other way. You know, the knock on him is he works these modern-day players too hard. He's too tough. The practices are too tough. No one's ever going to say that about Brett Brown. But the problem is he's got to kind of balance the two. You can't just be, oh, yeah, my guy's great, my guy's great, my guy's great. You kind of have to have a little, you know, tough love, for lack of a better term.
Okay, now we get to Shake Milton. He was anointed the starting point guard. He started 17 games during the season at various spots. Ben Simmons hurt his shoulder, so he got more time at the point. Then we saw him play in the scrimmages. It looked good with Ben Simmons playing the point forward, Shake Milton playing, you know, being a true point guard. And then last night he imploded with 5 personal fouls, gets in a fight with Joel Embiid, no points, 0-for-1 shooting. What happened there, and what do the Sixers need to do to fix that mess?
Well, if it's really true that Shake Milton's weakness as an NBA player is that he doesn't like it when guys get in his face, when guys really play him tough, I mean, that might be an unfixable problem, frankly, because to me it's like a guy in baseball can't hit a curveball. How long does it take to get around the league that he can't hit a curveball? So if it gets around the league that this guy doesn't like to be pressured, he doesn't like a guy in his face all the time, well, you're going to see it, if not in these next 7 games, certainly in the playoffs, you're going to see a guy get in his face the whole game. So that's a problem. And again, I don't know if it's correctable. I thought he was obviously better than yesterday, but I think he's got to be able to handle pressure. Otherwise, how can you have him be the point guard? You're going to have to go back to the old days of Simmons handling the ball most of the time. If that's true, I'd like to think it's not. The guy's an NBA player. You got to face a lot of tough defense throughout the league, you know, unless you're playing a couple of teams who don't play defense. like that Houston-Dallas game the other night. But whatever, that aside, he's got to be able to handle pressure, or else by definition he can't be a really good NBA point guard.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Steve Callis, my podcast partner on the Comcast Business Hotline. He's also an author. He writes articles. He does videos. WestchesterCountyPost.com has his own website, his Facebook page. Steve, guys get hot. We've seen it all the time. And then there are guys like James Harden, who always seems to be hot. Steph Curry, when he gets hot, you know, they're in the 40-plus. Sometimes they hit 50. Harden seems to do that like every 8 games. Can you explain or can you make any excuses for why T.J. Warren drops 53 on you?
I think I can partially explain. Again, not to defend the Sixers, not to defend Ben Simmons, because T.J. Warren scored 19 in the fourth quarter, including the dagger that you talked about, which was kind of an incredible shot, actually, where he was pretty well defended. But I will say this about T.J. Warren, not about the Sixers. He averaged 19.6 points a game this year, 18 last year, 19.2. This guy's a solid NBA scorer. You average 19 points in the NBA, you're a solid NBA scorer. How does he score 53? The best I can say is this. When he gets it going, and he gets it going once in a while, not a lot, but when he gets it going, he's dangerous. Earlier this year against the Hornets, he scored 30 in the second half back in January. Last year, he had a game where he scored 40. So I'm not saying you could expect this, but I am saying he has it in him. When he gets it going, get out of the way or do what the Pacers did. Just keep giving him the ball. And it didn't matter. You know, I know some guys made Ben Simmons look like a fool, and he did. But T.J. Warren has the ability to do that again once in a while. But he's a solid 19-point-per-game NBA scorer, and I think very few people knew that before last night.
Steve, last question. I'm going to switch to baseball real quick. You are a baseball guy. I mean, you're an everything guy, but I know you're big on baseball. It imploded last Sunday. I only think it's going to get worse. Phillies are scheduled to play in New York this weekend. They got the Toronto series canceled. The Marlins, it looks like they're getting ready to play baseball again. What's the state of baseball?
Well, it's very problematic, and you know, we talked about it because you got the bubble in the NHL, which is the best place to be in Canada. You got the bubble in Orlando, which so far is working out. Even though baseball as a sport is the best one in terms of physically distance, we talked about the fact that what? These teams are going to fly to Miami, they're going to fly to Texas if you're in the Central, they're going to fly to Los Angeles. If you're in the West, you're going to play in these hot spots where the states have 9,000-10,000 new cases every day. Something had to happen. I don't know. But the Phillies are like the unintended consequence because they had nothing going on. It's just that the Marlins came to town. Maybe they went to a party in Atlanta. Maybe they didn't. You don't know how it went. And that's the problem because now you've got a little outbreak with the Cardinals. If you get a few more of these, you can't be playing these. And let me just say it's not baseball again. 7-inning doubleheaders where the guy on second base is not going to be on in the 8th inning, Joe. We got Sunday softball. We're going to break out the beer and start drinking beer. So I really think it's a problem on a number of levels. Having said that, they got a 30-man roster. They got 30 other guys or 20 other guys at home. The Marlins are going to be able to field the team, but they're going to be terrible. And I'll just say this one final thing. Even though it's last Sunday and it seems like 2 years ago, the loss to the Marlins last Sunday by the Phillies was one of the worst, maybe the worst regular season loss I've ever seen, where the Marlins lost their starting catcher, lost their starting pitcher, lost their starting outfielder, lost their starting DH. Phillies are up 4-0. and they lose 11-6 with Vince Velasquez, who I told you looked like Cy Young against the Yankees earlier in the week.
Yeah, he did.
The Yankees playing their Yankee lineup. It was the legit Yankee lineup, and then he implodes against these guys. I'm glad I'm not a gambling man, because I would have bet the house and I'd be homeless now.
Steve, great job as usual, my friend. Stay dry. We appreciate all the info. We'll catch up with you again next weekend.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
You too, Steve. Steve Callis on the Comcast Business Hotline. That's one thing he mentioned on our podcast I failed to mention. They had four guys come up positive with the COVID virus last week, did not play, and they came back from 4-0 down off Vince Velasquez, who did look like Cy Young against the Yankees. His previous timeout, one of the worst Phillies losses in regular season history. Ah, boy, that was rough. Kind of like the Sixers losing by 6 last night to the Pacers. We'll continue to talk about that. And what does Brett Brown do well? Please answer me that. What does Brett Brown do well? I'm not being sarcastic. I'm not trying to be condescending. I'm not trying to be a bad guy to Brett Brown. I've been calling for his job, although I don't like doing that either, but I think they need a change at that position. It's sports. It's a business. What does he do real well that would allow you to keep him here as the Sixers head coach? 610-632-0975. I'm Joe Stasiak. Here till noontime today. Rob Motti at that time. We're coming right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.